The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Most Holy Christ, speak to us today. And may we have ears to hear. Amen. Good morning. Today, as we've established, is the fourth Sunday of Advent, our last preparation for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or what we call Christmas Day. Last week, the third Sunday in Advent, is typically a Sunday to celebrate Mary. And we really didn't get to do that because the gospel for this year was about John the Baptist, and we had beautiful Advent lessons and carols at 10:30. But this year, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we do get to focus on Joseph. Some congregations and denominations just gloss over this fourth Sunday of Advent. And in the continuing assault on Advent, I just can't let it go. They call this Christmas Sunday. Christmas Sunday, more or less to make up for all the regulars who won't come to Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. But here, I'm glad to say, we have far more trust in you than that. And I'm simply not going to cave. It is interesting to note that unlike its Lucan counterpart scripture in Matthew, Joseph is the recipient of the Annunciation, not Mary. Matthew does one other thing that's different that our English translation doesn't really make clear. In the language he wrote, Matthew uses the word for Genesis, or new beginning, or even initial or primary beginning. This can't be proven, but many New Testament scholars believe this might have been intentional to say this birth is a new cosmic beginning, a complete reboot, if you will, for all of humanity. So in Matthew, the passage we get today is the combination of the Annunciation and the virgin birth. Now, just in case you miss it, I want you to really think about this story. Today, while we have it, think about it. Joseph wakes up one day and is told that his betrothed, Mary, which means they were engaged, as it were, in our culture, but not living together, was pregnant. And what he is told by Mary, and then eventually God, through the angel, they're told that this pregnancy is from the Holy Spirit. Now, if you were to put yourself in the same situation, what would you do? And what would you think? It seems a convenient explanation. You might put it in our more contemporary world. A woman turns up pregnant and tells her boyfriend, "Hey, it's of the Holy Spirit." I'm not sure how that would go over. In fact, before the angelic message, it says Joseph plans to, quote, dismiss her quietly. Now, there is a whole lot in those few words. Yes, indeed, Joseph is saying, here in this society I live in, Mary is now tainted goods. And that's sad for us to hear and believe, but for the time, it's also a magnanimous thought. If exposed, Mary could be tried and even executed. And this is still true today in many parts of the world and in Palestine. On our recent Holy Land visit, our group visited the creche in Bethlehem. The creche is an orphanage run by a Roman Catholic French order of nuns. And we try to never miss visiting because if you want the story of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, this is where I believe you go to see it incarnated. This orphanage takes in Muslim babies who are born out of wedlock or due to premarital sex, or even more frequently due to incest, which is quite prevalent. To this day, in that culture, a woman thus found to be pregnant could face death, and it would be considered an honor killing. If the woman is not killed, she is surely shunned, often turned out of the family, and left on her own. So these nuns take them in, no questions asked. Most of the babies left at the back door where the nuns have promised there are no cameras or guards. The work they do there is simply amazing. The story, ever more fascinating and astounding, and if you were in adult forum, I talked about it at greater length, but alas, I cannot do more with it here today. Suffice it to say, some of the same cultural consequences that Mary and Joseph faced are alive and well in Palestine today, too. I've often thought, when meditating on this passage, hearing that Joseph intended to dismiss her quietly, that it's also proof that Joseph did, in fact, love Mary. What he would have more likely done is shame her, and publicly. He would do that to protect his reputation as well as to alert others of hers. But he chooses not to, even before he hears from the angel. It says he planned to, quote, dismiss her quietly. It may sound rather harsh to you, but I urge you to see the compassionate side of that decision as well. Of course, it helps this whole situation that Joseph seems to be privy, and an angel comes and says to Joseph, "Trust her, trust me, and keep on keeping on." He does. And to bolster this, in the last line today, Joseph gives Jesus his name, which is very important, because that was an act of claiming a child as one's own. Those are not throwaway words or a throwaway line. And Joseph does that, content to know that God is the Father and he, Joseph, his adoptive parent. I just think it's important to say Joseph took some amazing actions in order to facilitate this entire story we celebrate, this faith we live by, this one we follow. We know the rest of the story and we will get it in full measure over the next few weeks. But we have to ask, what does it all mean for us today? In our day and time, many people struggle with Christianity due to this very story. They struggle with the virgin birth, believing it to be fantastical. Also, it's true that many religious and belief systems have a virgin birth as a Genesis story. Christianity's not the only one. And so many people say, we believe in an unbelievable story, and one that has been part of lore for generations, and that's really all it is, a story. The virgin birth used to really puzzle me and trouble me a bit too. But a few years ago in my mind and meditations, I pondered in my heart, if I found out that it was not a virgin birth, that Jesus had come into this world just as we all did, what would that do to my faith? If this pregnancy happened the old-fashioned way, what would it mean for my faith journey? And I have to tell you, in the end of my pondering was to come to a conclusion that it wouldn't change it at all. In fact, it might strengthen it for me. There, to me, is just as much beauty in that version as the one we claim, especially when we track and hear of Jesus' time, actions, and witness while he was here on this earth. I look into the faces of those beautiful children today at the crèche in Bethlehem. I got to hold one in my arms, left at that back door. It was 2 days old. We were not even a mile from the cave celebrated as the birthplace of Jesus, something a few of us got to do just a few weeks ago. And I look into the faces of those children, and I always see Jesus. It is every bit the miracle. Joseph really had to go through the same kind of pondering, and rather quickly. He finds the holy in a very peculiar place, in a very odd situation, and yet he has faith that God could work through it. So I'm going to urge you to take this as a gift for this season. The example of Joseph, faced with incredible odds, and all of them outside the conventions of his time, who decides faithfully that God could work even through this. The gift for us is an invitation to, when we encounter similar oddities, that we ponder carefully the divine and how God shall be revealed through it. Basically, thanks to this birth we celebrate today, our call is to see Jesus in every baby, in every situation, to pick up the baby left at the back door as if we were saving the world. Because I believe our faith says we are. My beloved, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.